Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Your goal as a parent is preparing your child to be an independent, functional adult. On the next Focus on the Family, Dave Gudgell shares wisdom and insight as a dad who successfully launched three adults. You'll get a good handle on how to help your teens look to the future and step into adulthood next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, happy Monday to you. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner and answer your questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We started the day by talking to our good friend Lauren Gydeck at Christian Healthcare Ministries. Again, if you're looking for health cost sharing and you want to take a biblical approach, well, look no further than chministries.org. As I mentioned, they've shared $9 billion with believers who are trying to offset the cost of healthcare, and it can be a great alternative if you're looking to reduce those costs. Check it out today, chministries.org. But perhaps now we can tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. I'm sure there's been some things over the weekend that you were wrestling with. How are we going to pay off that debt once and for all? What does it look like for us to stay on a budget in these difficult times? What about my investment? Should I add some gold to the portfolio? Whatever you want to talk about today, we've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you. The number is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. Missouri is where we'll begin today. Hi, Sharon. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. This may be a crazy question, but I don't. After hearing that lady talk about the recession and she thought it may be coming in the next 12 months, what do you do about all the stuff you have in the banks? If that happens, are you allowed to get to it if you want to, take what you want to, or do, you know, because I have an IRA, I have a savings, I have two checkings. I said, will that, how do we know that somebody just announced, okay, we're in a recession, and do the banks do different? I mean,
yes,
I know it's crazy. I worked at the bank for 42 years, but I just don't understand what will happen.
Yeah.
To
let me ease your concerns here just a bit. First of all, what we have to recognize is that recessions happen pretty much every decade or so. I mean, this is not something new. We go through these as a cycle of economic expansion and then contraction. This one is a little different in the sense that it was almost engineered by the Federal Reserve just to deal with inflation. So our red hot economy was leading to, because of easy money and near zero interest rates for more than a decade, runaway inflation, 40-year high inflation that we were all experiencing and continue to experience at the grocery store and a variety of other places. And so one of the Federal Reserve's primary tools to deal with inflation, if it does get beyond its target, which has been 2%, and we've been at that for a long time, is to engineer a slowing of the economy. They do that largely by raising interest rates, which they did at the fastest pace ever, and that in a sense, engineers for us a recession. It's not the way it should work, but it's the way it's going down. But the fact that we're in a recession, that just simply means by definition that we have two negative growth quarters of gross domestic product here in the United States. So it's a pretty technical definition in the sense that let's say we were to grow by 0.1%. Well, that's not a recession, but let's say we were to lose 0.1% on our economy and do that twice, well, that is a recession. So it doesn't mean it has to be severe, although it could be a little deeper than folks expect. But again, this does happen regularly. And so this is not something that will be new to us. We will work our way through it. You will absolutely have your money available to you in the bank. I would just make sure you keep it under that $250,000 threshold for FDIC insurance. They're there to ensure not only that your money's available, but that you can get to it when you need it. And even if a bank were to fail, and what we experienced in the last 6 months around bank failures was very limited and isolated. It wasn't anything that, had to do with a systemic problem in our banking system. It was really a couple of banks that were mismanaging their portfolios. So I don't think there's anything to worry about here, Sharon. We will, get through this. And I think the market will take off once we get into the recession. And we can see the end of it around the corner.
Oh, well, okay. I guess I just don't trust the Federal Reserve at all. So,
well, I hear you. And they've done a lot of things that have caused us to lose our trust in their management of the economy. But you have to look at the United States in light of the rest of the world. And if we're grading the U.S. versus the rest of the world in terms of our currency, in terms of the size and strength of our economy, our ingenuity and innovation, just where we're physically located in the world with two massive oceans on either side and all of the natural resources that we have here. I mean, we're very well positioned, even though I would agree with you, we need to make some changes with regard to both how we're handling our economy as well as, federal spending and debt and all of the things that we know need to change economically. Despite that, we're in the best and strongest position in the world. And so when we look at that, we have to say, okay, given that, yes, there are some headwinds. Could there be bigger problems down the road in the form of a debt crisis? Perhaps, but that's not in the near term. And pulling your money out of the bank or exiting the stock market, especially in light of inflation, I don't think makes sense. And I don't think it's warranted, just given where we find ourselves today. That's just my perspective.
Well, I just think it's coming faster. Everything's speeding up. And I just think if we're going to really, it'll be sooner than what we think, I think. But yeah, That's just me. And I do thank you for talking to me, and that does help me.
Well, I'm delighted, Sharon. And certainly at the end of the day, you are the steward. So I'd be praying through this, talking to the Lord about where you should go from here. But I think we're going to have plenty of notice before we were to have to, if it ever gets to that, make any kind of drastic changes in the way we handle God's money with regard to the banking system, the stock market, things like that. Remember, when you're investing in the stock market, you're investing in real companies with sales and earnings, again, in the strongest economy in the world. I would continue to put my money there in terms of the ability to grow wealth and overcome the effects of inflation versus putting it under the mattress or burying it in the backyard. That's just me, though, but I do appreciate your perspective very, very much, and thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open, and we'd love to hear from you today. Quickly to Minnesota. Hi, Kay. How can I help you?
Hi. I am 65. My husband is 70. We have a reasonably comfortable nest egg. And what we are wondering is, what do you think about us giving our three grown children a bit of an inheritance now when they could actually use it instead of 20 or 30 years from now when they really won't need the money? They are all very responsible with their income. They've never asked us for money. They each have some circumstances that have arisen that aren't their fault, and they could really use the money now. Again, they won't need it 20 or 30 years from now. And then the other reason is when we get into our 80s and 90s, and one or both of us may end up in a nursing home, the government was going to take it all, except maybe the selling of the house. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. Number one is if you have a financial plan and you've really thought through that and you know how much you need for retirement just based on the lifestyle you feel like God has called you to, and you have a surplus, there's really only two places that can go. We can give it away to ministry or charity or your church, or you can leave it to heirs. And you don't have to do that at death. I love the idea of you all accelerating that right now. You could do up to $17,000 each, you and your husband, $34,000 per individual per year without even telling the government that you did it, the IRS. If you did more than that, you just have to file a gift tax return. But here's what I'd like to do. I'd love to unpack this just a bit more with regard to how you might think about this. I've got to take a quick break, so you stay on the line, Kay, and we'll finish up right on the other side.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items, everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Kay in Minnesota. She and her husband are 65 and 70, and they want to leave an inheritance to their kids, and wondering about perhaps beginning to do that now, if they have the ability to do so. And as I was saying, Kay, you absolutely can, up to $17,000 each per person. So you and your husband each could do $34,000. If you went above that, you just have to file the IRS gift form to let the IRS know. It's not taxable at that point. it just eats away at your lifetime gift exclusion at over $12 million. So you got plenty of room there. I think the key is, number one, how are you and your husband positioned for retirement in terms of the assets that you have, your ability to fund your lifestyle spending in retirement alongside Social Security and any other retirement income that you have. And if you feel like you've defined enough and you have the ability to still give some money away, why not get it into the hands of children who are adults, who are managing their finances wisely, who could use the money. And if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, why wait, you know, 20 years down the road, to your point? With regard to nursing home care, I mean, the only ability you'd have to take care of government assistance would be once your assets are depleted almost entirely, and then you'd have to move to a Medicaid approved facility. I'd rather you through your own planning and ability to fund that, you know, cover the cost of, that type of assistance if you needed long-term care through perhaps a long-term care insurance policy, although it's getting to the point where it's going to be cost prohibitive at your age. There is, though, I would just mention to you what's called a five-year look back. And basically that just means any assets that are, let's say, given away or you spend them down strategically, they're going to look back 5 years and they will limit your ability to qualify for government assistance, namely Medicaid, because they will see that you made these gifts that were not at fair market value. So that's just something to be mindful of as you're thinking about all this. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things is, yeah, it's like, well, if we're going to do it, we better do it now before we do end up in a nursing home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're going to, that 5 years thing. Yeah.
Sure, sure. So I think, you know, that's the key. I mean, obviously, I'd rather you all be able to fund your own long-term care just out of, you know, managing the assets that you have and trying to live on a modest amount. What have you accumulated in retirement assets?
I think we're at about 3/4 of a million.
Yeah. And what will you need per month, or what do you need per month in addition to Social Security and any other guaranteed income sources that you have?
I mean, I don't have all our figures down, but we've never had to draw from our investments.
Oh, great.
So
okay.
Far.
So that's a good sign. Obviously, yeah, because you all are living modestly, whatever income sources you have, whether that's Social Security plus a pension or whatever it might be, is enough to cover your expenses. So you're just letting this $750,000 continue to grow. So I think the key here for you, would you pull from the $750,000 to give to the kids, or do you have other assets socked away?
We would probably have to pull $20,000.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, so the only thing I might consider is just the timing on that, just given that even though the market has rebounded this year, the recovery that's showing up in the S&P 500 and the Dow is somewhat narrow in terms of the actual number of stocks that are participating in that. So most stocks, the majority of stocks, are still down quite a bit from their highs, you know, going back, before we started to see this sell-off here over the last year. So I think, you know, you may want to consider, if you're having to liquidate investments to make these gifts, you may want to wait until we get through the recession and we see the market recover, which means, you know, you put this on hold for maybe a year. But if you've got a cash portion that hasn't been affected by this, perhaps you go ahead and do it right now. But I think the idea that you're thinking about in terms of taking surplus, blessing our kids now, you know, we feel like it's a good decision just based on where they're at in terms of their own spiritual and financial maturity, then I'd say go for it.
Okay, wonderful. All right, well, thank you. We will pray about that.
All right. Thanks, Kay. We appreciate you calling today. Thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. By the way, coming up a little later in the broadcast in our final segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. We'll get his take on the markets and the economy. Particularly, we'll talk about the market's reactions and anticipation of the ongoing debt ceiling discussions. Also, China in the news over the weekend as the G7 talking about being a little more cautious related to China. We'll ask Bob for his take on how that might affect our economy and the other economies of the world. Back to the phones, though, for a moment, to Texas. Hi, Sophie. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So I wanted to ask, we had planned on doing like a facelift to our kitchen because we've been in our house for about 14 years and we haven't done anything with the house, and our appliances are going, the garbage disposal is going. So we just wanted to do a refresh.
Yeah.
We have about probably a little over 400,000 equity in our house. And we wanted to pull out between $40,000 and $50,000 to do redo the kitchen. We are debt free. We have a GC savings account. And we have enough in our retirement. So I'm wondering if this is the time to do the kitchen, or, and we give freely as well.
Yeah, very good.
And we just want to make sure we're making that a timely decision on that.
Sure. Well, I think just because of where we find ourselves economically doesn't automatically mean you need to take a project like this that you've been planning on and put it off. I think there are some questions to ask, and so I'm glad you raised it. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's unpack this just a little bit. We'll talk about job security, which is always the primary concern in a recession. And then if you do proceed with it, where the best place is to pull the funds, and whether you should wait, just given where interest rates are and the fact that it'll require some debt. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, as we head toward our fiscal year end here at Faith Fi, which is June the 30th, we could absolutely use your assistance to finish our ministry year strong through your financial support. That's right, we're listener supported. So a gift of any amount at faithfi.com is incredibly helpful, especially right now. To give, to support the ministry, just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And just click the give button. Thanks in advance. Just before the break, we were talking to Sophie in Texas. She and her husband are making some great decisions, really positioned well financially. They're giving generously. They have an emergency fund. They've on track or at least fully funded, perhaps even their retirement. They're debt free and wanting to think about upgrading their kitchen. And just wondering, in light of the recession, is this a time to push the pause button? Do they proceed? You know, how should they go about doing that? Sophie, are you all still working or are you in retirement?
Okay, so my husband retired from the military, and we're both disabled veterans, so we get the full benefit from that.
Okay.
And I just got approved for disability through Social Security.
Okay.
So our combined income with all of that is probably $11,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah. And you don't live on that much, it sounds like. Is that right?
No, our mortgage is less than $1,000.
Okay. Yeah. And so how much surplus would you have to put toward paying off this renovation if you were to borrow to do it?
A lot, because we don't have any debt. So
yeah. Okay.
I just paid off my car. So at the amount of money that I was spending in a car payment will actually be a little bit more than would be what the second mortgage would cost us.
Okay.
But I plan on adding to that so that we could pay it off in like 5 to 7 years instead of 10, 15 years.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. And you're looking to borrow $40,000 to $50,000, you said, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'd probably look at, if you're going to go ahead and do it right away, I'd probably look at a home equity line of credit. I wouldn't normally say that because of the variable rate, but I think given mm-hmm. where we're at in this interest rate cycle, with us being probably near the high, if not at the high, you mm-hmm. would benefit by that rate, that variable rate coming down over time. And mm-hmm. given the surplus you have on a monthly basis, I think you guys could knock this out pretty quickly. So that makes a lot of sense to me. If you wanted to wait, you know, until, let's say, next year when rates have come down, then I would go with a home equity loan where you lock in a fixed interest rate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would be able to get something lower than we're at today. But if you and your husband want to proceed, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't, I mean, you've got the financial resources, you've got the surplus to pay it off, you've got your income guaranteed, so you don't have to worry about losing a job. And if we do get into a recession here, so I don't see any reason to wait. I think the question is just, do you do it now and get the home equity line of credit with a variable rate that mm-hmm. can come down over time, or do you put it off and then try to lock in something a little lower? Or with a home equity loan? I could go either way. It really just comes down to the timing that you and your husband want to follow.
Okay. We were looking into the home equity line of credit, but our credit union doesn't have that for some reason. So,
okay. You broke up there for a second. What did you say about your credit union?
I said we were looking into the equity line of credit, but our bank doesn't, our credit union doesn't offer that.
Okay.
In Texas for some reason.
Yeah. Okay.
So the only product they have for that was the home equity loan.
Yeah, which you could do. I just think given where rates are at right now, you may benefit from a line of credit. What I would do is go to the website bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. Okay. You can put in the fact that you're looking for a home equity line of credit and your credit score, and it'll show you all of the lenders that have the very best rates and terms right now for home equity lines of credit. I'd get at least three bids. And they'll probably be with online banks that are going to have the best
opportunities right now. But bankrate.com will give you the listing of who has the very best programs right now, and that's where I would go next. So listen, all the best to you, Sophie. Appreciate you calling today, and we're grateful for you and your husband's service to our country. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much. It's our privilege. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Virginia. Hey, John, go right ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what your thoughts were. I've been, as part of my portfolio, I do autopilot investing, and one of the funds that my monthly investments go into is Vanguard's Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on that long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan, especially long term, of TIPS. I mean, they're a type of treasury bond that's, of course, indexed to inflation to protect you from the decline in purchasing power. So I understand that. And especially now, while inflation is high, they're getting a lot of attention. I-bonds were more attractive. They're less attractive today. Of course, the principal value rises as inflation rises, and then the interest payment varies with the adjusted principal value of the bond. Now, the downside is they do underperform traditional treasuries, particularly when inflation is low, and they rely on CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which I think understates inflation. I think that's a working against you. And they're more volatile than cash, especially during a stock market decline. So I'm not a big fan. I mean, if you've already got some money in there, perhaps you ride that out. I'm not sure I would be looking to add new money just as a long-term investor.
Okay. Would you transfer some to another investment, or just what I've got in, just let it ride?
You could. I mean, I think bonds are very attractive right now. So if you're looking for more of an income type stable investment, I think looking at a bond index would probably make a lot of sense right now, because the yields are strong, and as the interest rates come back down, the Fed funds rate, the prices of those bonds will increase. So I would think that would be a better option for you, just kind of in a similar category. I mean, obviously you don't have the guarantees you've got with the TIPS, but I think you could get a lot more in the way of return.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling, John. We appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'll stay in Virginia. Crystal, go ahead.
Hi. I am 66 years old. I will be 67 next year. And I'm considering whether or not to take my Social Security at 67 versus waiting through 70. I'm not on, retiring next year.
Yes.
The security that I would be, because they're talking about possibly changing the dates or the years or the age of the persons that can take it and when they can take it. And I was considering that would be an issue.
Yeah, so it is likely that Congress will eventually increase the full retirement age for Social Security. However, I would expect, and nobody knows, but I would expect recipients who are near FRA will almost certainly be grandfathered in. For instance, the most recent increase from 66 to 67 was actually mandated by Congress back in 1983. So if you don't need the money, you're safe to wait, I think, until age 70 to take the benefits. You're going to get 1/12 of 8% in an increase in every year you wait. So as long as you... We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. We were talking to Crystal just before the break. My apologies. I had a little bit of a technical issue on my end. But Crystal, just in conclusion to that conversation, you know, I think what I would expect is that, yes, full retirement age will be increased. I believe you will be grandfathered in. That's at least what we've seen in the past. And I like the idea, if you don't need the money, for you to wait until up to age 70 to take the benefits, because you're going to get that 8% increase every year. Now, keep in mind, the math works out such that you need about 12 years to make up the difference from what you would have received if you started taking it at 67. So if you're in good health and the Lord tarries, then and you can reasonably expect to say, yeah, I don't think the Lord's finished with me yet. No one knows, of course. But after 12 years, through that higher monthly check that you receive by waiting until age 70, you would have made up for all the money you didn't receive between 67 and 70, and then you enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. So we're talking probably around 82 years old. From that point forward, you're, quote, in the money. So I think you just need to kind of think through all of that. But again, if you don't need it, I like the idea that you'd get that 8% guaranteed increase by waiting. And I don't, you know, the idea that Congress would increase the full retirement age doesn't concern me with regard to this particular aspect of determining when to claim your benefits. I hope that's helpful to you, Crystal. Thanks for your call today. Hey, before we head back to the phones, and by the way, we do have room for maybe one or two more questions between now and the end of the program at 800-525-7000. Let's talk to our good friend Bob Dahl. He stops by each Monday to share his insights on the market and the economy. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob, as we're starting off a new week, two big headlines over the weekend, one related to China. We'll get to that in a moment. The second, of course, all eyes on the debt ceiling negotiations. What are you thinking this week as we get started?
I continue to think, Rob, that we will get a debt ceiling deal without a default, but it may come in two steps. The first step would be a temporary increase coupled with an agreement containing the key items, but not the details, giving them more time to work out the details, in which case then we'll get a debt ceiling increase that would go past the next presidential election. What I've just described is very calm. It won't be calm, Rob. It's right. Going to be bumpy, as you know, and it'll feel like a circus.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll keep our eyes on that. Bob, the G7 obviously getting a bit tougher on Beijing, talking about trying to isolate China. Boy, that just sounds like it's fraught with problems. Not that it doesn't need to happen, but that on top of our ongoing work and trade deals with Taiwan just seemed like there's the making for some more geopolitical unrest. What do you make of all of that?
You know, I totally agree, Rob. There is no unity, not that there typically is in these sorts of things, but it almost feels like sides are being taken. And that's always the beginning of what ends up being not pleasant. Let's hope we don't go there. The cooler heads prevail and we can find a way to stay peaceful.
All right. What about just the overall health of the economy, Bob? What are some of the highlights from your Dahl's deliberations this week?
You know, so the labor market continues to be the part of the economy that's doing the best, although we're seeing some softening there. And until there's more softening, the consumer is going to keep spending money. And so the consumer's in reasonably good shape, and that's what's kept the economy looking good, earnings being okay, and the market continuing to climb lots of walls of worry, Rob.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll continue to watch it, Bob. I know you've got your work cut out for you as you navigate this volatility and still, I guess, a fairly narrow trading range in terms of the stocks that are actually moving the market. Is that continuing to be the case?
It is. The narrowness of the market is usually not a good sign, but somebody said to me recently, that's just another part of the wall of worry. More stocks are going down than up. It's very narrow. Stock market's up 8% so far this year, Rob, but if you take out the top 10 stocks, the market's down .5%.
Wow.
Go figure.
Yeah, well, that tells us everything we need to know. All right, Bob, we'll appreciate your insights, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All the best. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Let's head back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can between now and the end of the program. We head to Arkansas. Ken, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Appreciate all you do and your comments and your godly perspectives.
Well, thank you.
My question is, I have a small company, 6-7 employees. We put money in their IRAs, including my wife's and my IRAs. Each month, do I pay tithes on those when I put it in the IRA? As I always, when I take it out, I pay tithes on it then, and I just need your guidance.
Yeah, I love that question, Ken, because obviously you want to be found faithful in giving to God's kingdom with the resources he's entrusted to you. So let me just clarify a few things. So you're a tither, and I love that, a systematic giver on the increase. I assume you're doing that personally, but you're also wanting to do that out of the business that you own, both and, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the way I would approach this is, I mean, the portion that you pay to yourself in the form of a salary, I assume you get you take a salary from the business. That's clear.
Yeah, sir.
Just go ahead and tithe right off of that.
Yeah.
That's all increase. I think the business is a little more challenging, but it's a great opportunity to use it as an engine for giving. The way I would look at that is asking the question, what is my increase? So for a business, your profit or your increase is whatever's left after you've paid all of your expenses, and that would be your true profit that you would tithe on. What I would say is that money you put into your employee's retirement account is a part of your operating expense. It's not an increase. It's, you know, one of the expenses of the business. So I would look at, you know, you could work with your CPA or accountant on this, measuring your profit at a point in time. So you might look at the profit for the quarter. More typically, you'd look at the profit for the year. So in the business, after all the expenses are paid, including your salary, the salaries of your employees, the benefits you're offering to your employees, including the retirement plan contributions, all the overhead and operating expenses, once all that's paid, if you have some profit that's left in the business that you're going to leave there, then that would be an opportunity to say, okay, God, in recognition for this increase that you've given to me inside the business, I'm going to tithe on that. That would be the number that you're looking for. Apart from that, you know, if you were to try to tithe on the gross receipts of the business, you know, depending on what kind of business you're in, you could go out of business if you did that, just because that's really not your increase. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. It sure does.
Okay.
Do you have time for one more question?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Ken.
I invested 17 years ago, let's say $40,000 in a piece of property. And recently I've considered selling it, and the property is going to return me two times what I invested in it.
Yeah.
You know, and my question is, do I tithe on 100% of that, or do I take the 400 away from that and just tithe on the 800?
So you would basically take your selling price and subtract your original purchase price and any improvements you made to the property that increased its value. And that would result in your true profit, which is your increase, which I would tithe on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hey, I listen to you every day when I can. I'm a real estate appraiser. I'm on the road. And I really like your insight in all that you come across. And I'm sure God's given you a lot of knowledge. But I really enjoy hearing from you. And it's been a blessing. Thank you for your time.
Well, Ken, that's very kind of you, my friend. God bless you. Thanks for calling in today and for those kind remarks. That means a lot. All the best to you, sir, and call anytime. Let's stay in Arkansas. Beth, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. My husband and I are considering selling our home, which we have a considerable amount of equity in, and buying another one. The equity we would use to pay off our debt, a couple of small credit cards and our vehicle. The question is, if we purchase another home, because of the market, it will be a bit more than what we're paying now. And so he and I are going back and forth about what to do. Do we only have debt in a home, or do we, you know, pay off the cars and the credit cards as, you know, our monthly payment?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So a couple of thoughts on this. I mean, first of all, what is the debt that you're paying off? What type of debt?
Two small credit cards and then two vehicles.
Okay. And do you all live on a budget? Do you have a spending plan that you use?
We do.
Okay. And what do you have left over at the end of the month after the bills are paid? Are you living kind of right up to the edge, or do you have some surplus or margin?
We don't have a lot of surplus. We don't have a lot.
Okay. You know, I don't love the idea of paying off debt, consumer debt, with your home mortgage, just because even though it's going to lower the interest rate potentially, probably not on the cars right now, but you are going to spread it out over a much longer period of time. I'd much rather you, this is the home for you, I'd much rather you stay there if it fits into your budget and just work on paying off this debt, you know, through cash flow. Separate from that, though, I wouldn't necessarily concur with the idea that you're going to spend more on the next house because of where the housing market is. Because if you're selling a home, you should get maximum value out of your current home such that you could roll it over into the next one. So if you're looking to downsize because you have too much house, this is a fine time to do it as long as you have something to sell so you can pull out the growth that you've got in your existing home and apply it to the next one. So if this is really about downsizing to cut expenses, I think that's fine. But if it's just about paying off the debt, there's too much cost involved in moving and selling a home. And I don't want you to spread it out over a new mortgage with 30 years to pay off credit cards and a car. So I'd work on the budget, keep the house, and try to pay it off out of current cash flow. Thanks for your call, Beth. We're so thankful you were along with us today. Thank you for Robert, Jim, and Pat. I hope you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.